Hey guys, so today you and I are going to talk about pushback bias. So let's get into it. So the questioning question was, Frederick, why do you think that companies such as Google and others are looking to reduce pushback bias in developer software, in developer code reviews? Well, one part is because there is a tendency for people to develop relationships, and the problem with humans is that emotions almost always go before logic and rationality and reason. And the bias that humans tend to have is that if I don't like you, I will not listen to what you're saying. Like, I shut off the part of my brain that is actually listening to you and actually trying to reason whether or not you have something to say. You see this in its most extreme form in, like, the polarities between, you know, different cultures or politics or things like that, usually, where people who have an various, like, the farther, the more extreme you are, the less likely you are to hear the other side out. And for those of you who are more in the middle and more, you know, I'm not going to say liberal or so forth, but I hope that you can understand what I'm saying when I say that when things like that happens, it's almost just the polarization is so strong that there is no, that you don't gain any ground. You're basically just trading insults and trying to find the most extreme examples of things that you do not agree on. On both sides, it doesn't matter which side you are, because you will always try to find something that proves your narrative instead of making progress, right? And the idea behind, like, when you come to coders, is a very similar sort of thing. I've been asked many times, like, how do I deal with junior level developers reviewing my code? Well, this is an example of that. The reason why you ask me about that is because your belief is that because I am, well, it depends of course which company I'm in, but let's say that I am the experienced developer in the group. If a junior developer tells me to change something about my code, the problem is that if I know that that's a junior developer, and if I'm not mature enough, or like the, let's just call it the right sort of person, I will assume that this person knows nothing about software, and therefore I'm not going to provide the feedback. And that works in the other way around. The junior knows that I am an experienced software developer per se, like, perhaps, and now their bias is that, okay, this person probably knows what they're doing, I'm not going to put myself out there, etc., etc. So if you, in theory, if you could make something like anonymous code reviews or anonymous reviews and so forth, that might actually change, because you're now actually just looking at the problem objectively. You don't know who wrote this code, and you don't know who's reviewing the code. All you can take, all you know, is the feedback that you are provided with. And this is not necessarily, I mean, it's a little bit of a wild concept for me, because it's basically, I think in a sense it's actually a good exercise to have. The thing that makes me sad though is that it's necessary, or that a company would feel like this is necessary, because the fundamental issue is that if you have people in your organization that have a tendency to cause, like, these sort of friction situations in code reviews and so forth, then you have a fairly serious problem. Now, I'm not naive. I know for a fact that if it's a gigantic corporation, there is no way, and even in some cases in smaller companies, there's no way for you to create a situation where the human relationship is not a factor. And I've always sort of felt a little bit, and I understand Google's, like, I think I understand why they're doing things like these sorts of things. And my guess is that I don't work for Google, so I don't know if this is right or wrong, but it always seems to me that their ultimate goal is to basically break down the software, like the delivery process and development process of software, to a point where it's basically a cookie cutter experience where you're, and I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I mean, I do this, I try, in many ways I'm trying to do the same thing, like to remove as much as possible from the human factor, if that makes sense, because it's usually the human factor that causes a lot of the issues. And if you can, for example, create a solution such as this, which would remove hypothetically the problem of people creating issues in the code review and like making the product suffer because they're not able to detach themselves from like strong emotion, like differences of opinion, etc., etc., not basically act as adults and professionals, well, as since it's almost impossible to gain that at a very large scale, investing in something like anonymous code reviews is actually not a bad idea, in my opinion, because it basically creates a scalable solution, and it's like adding a type system to a programming language. It's not going to write the code by itself, but you're going to eliminate, in essence, the entire like a big chunk of potential problems that you basically have to deal with. Every company has to deal with this. And as I said, it's actually, at small scales, it might be quote-unquote simpler. I'm not going to say it's simpler, but you can solve this problem by just hiring really good and nice people. But even that has its limits, because you simply don't have there is no way. And if you look at any society, I mean, you know, now society is pretty big, but any town, any larger group of people, there is no way that you're going to be besties with everybody in that group. And until we reach a point, which is my argument, that's like the humanities, in my opinion, this is the next big hurdle for our species, where we develop our brains and our cognitive resources and emotional intelligence and all this good stuff to a point where we can scale a human process without the need for what I like to say is, if you don't provide a physical limitation or an incentive system, nothing a human is doing over time is going to work. Because the way that we prioritize is usually it's very difficult to scale that to like a large degree without causing usually quite a lot of problems. It's not all bad. I mean, a lot of stuff is like we are amazing creatures. We make really cool things, and like we make a lot of stuff that is, I think, pretty great. But something we're really really shit at is, as I said, like this. This problem of differences of opinion and, like, in a sense, scaling the intercommunications and biases and all this stuff between humans is just not something we are very good at, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So having something like this, in my opinion, is a pretty cool experiment or that you can play around with. But to me, the value of this would really only be tangible if you had such a large organization that you can't really solve it any other way, and if you had a code reviewing policy where you're basically almost crowdsourcing the development process. Because if we're a team of like just a few developers, there is no way I'm not gonna, like, if we're three or four developers, the feedback that you get, like, you will start, I mean, if you're gonna be anonymous at that scale, you can absolutely be anonymous and get feedback and so forth. It might provide a certain value, but I don't think it's, to me, as I said, it's a little bit like, then you're sort of over-engineering things slightly, I would say, if it's at that small of a scale. But in a really, really large-scale system, or like large-scale development with a lot of people, might make more sense. But I think it's a pretty cool idea overall. So, what I want you to take away from this is that my guess is that why companies such as Google and other companies might try to figure out this pushback bias thing in code reviews is simply because people are people. And if I don't like you, I might make you pay for it by being passive-aggressive and creating really shitty comments or creating a lot of hassle for you in the code review. And of course, if you think that I'm really great, or I think that you're really great at what you do, and I think that I'm pretty shit at what I do, and my self-esteem is low or so forth, I might not correct you when something is wrong or so forth, or maybe I'm very intimidated by you and therefore it's scary for me to put myself out there. But if I remove, if you create the anonymous thing, potentially I can then you just get the feedback. And that's it. But as a twist, you can also think about that. Well, that's sort of the whole idea. That was sort of the experiment we did overall, I think, with social media and Twitter and like all this sort of stuff. And if you're not careful, you might just end up with a lot of other bad things happening from making people anonymous in like the code review and so forth and so forth. So I don't, I think that this is an interesting experiment. I don't think necessarily it makes a lot of sense at a very small scale, but because I fundamentally think that it comes down to like the sustainable solution is something that is, it's very difficult. I think that this is a patch on something, and I think it's a pretty interesting patch to add on top of a work process that can absolutely, in a very similar way to how systems like Kubernetes and other sorts of automation tools can scale a really, really complicated big system and simplify the process. This could be a very like a soft skills version of such a solution, but the In my personal opinion, at the very least, the thing that really solves the problem with having code review and pushbacks and so forth is that you need to have good people. And usually you can find 5 or 10 good people to work really well together. It's not so easy to find several hundreds, if not thousands, of really, really good people who are all going to, you know, act as adults, professional, with wisdom and tact and empathy and all this sort of stuff. It's difficult to scale humanity. Have a great day.